This morning, Trevor and I are singing a song that's pretty familiar to most of us. It's in our hymn book, and we've sung it a number of times, I'm sure. And the author we're familiar with. But today, we'd like for you to think about it in a different way, with a different perspective. I'm going to ask you something kind of strange. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes for just a moment. The author of this song, All the Way, is Fanny Crosby. She was a hymn writer, famous. She wrote a lot, but she was blind, and a lot of you know that. So when you're thinking through, as you're listening to the words of this song, think about how it would have been for Fanny Crosby as a blind woman to be led along. The first verse says, "All the way my Savior leads me." She would have had to have been guided places, and she would have experienced trials, some difficulties in life that most of us will never experience. But through it all, she looked to Jesus as her guide. And it's kind of an interesting thing to me with that idea of her being blind and having to be led places. The idea that she was 100% dependent on the person who was leading her. She couldn't lead herself in any way, shape, or form to get from point A to point B in a safe and timely manner. She could have stumbled along and tried to find her path, but especially, as the words of the song say, if it was a winding path, it would have been very difficult. And our lives are pretty winding. There's trials and different situations that happen all the time. And we can try and grope along and stumble about and figure out our own way in the dark. Or we can allow Jesus to be our guide, our leader. And he can take us safely and in a timely manner from point A to point B. All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?
Peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread.
Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
And thank you very much, Trevor and Ashley. Kind of an interesting perspective to, you know, think through what it would be like to be physically blind and to be led, and then the picture that we have in being led of our Lord. So, good lesson that we learned. Thank you very much. John chapter 15. Turn to John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at this idea and this word of abiding. Abiding. The act of abiding in Him. John chapter 15, and we're in verse 4. We're going to be looking at the kind of a couple verses here together in John chapter 15 this morning. We understand that the disciples are going through a difficult time in their lives. This is the last few moments that they're going to spend with Jesus Christ as their master on earth for these. I say the last. They're going to have this time after Jesus Christ rose, you know, to have. But as their master, as they walk through and up to the cross, this is their last little bit of time that they were going to have. And so Jesus gives them his heart. He knows. He feels for these folks, these men. They're going to be doing with, they're not going to be doing without him, but their perspective, their mindset is he's going to be gone. And how are we going to make it through this difficult time? He knows that their faith needs to be increased. And how would he do that? Nothing other than show them his heart. The heart of Christ is given to these disciples. And what a big heart that it was that he passed over to these men. And I trust that as we recognize in our world, the world that we live in, we have a dangerous world. We have a rough world. And it's a world that we need faith. Folks, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to do the work of the ministry at Faith Bible Church in Mount Joy in Elizabethtown, we need faith. Without faith, we will not be able to do anything here. And the Bible teaches us that without faith, we can do nothing. And so, if we're going to do a work, if we're going to minister, if we're going to be to the world, the lost and dying world that we need to be, we need to trust God, we need to have faith. And the best way is to look at Jesus Christ and to see. When we get to know a person, when we get to know their name, then God's Word teaches us we will put our faith and trust in Him. Jesus loved to use physical illustrations, and He does. As Jesus and the disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, is gone. He's going to betray His Lord, and He has been dismissed. Jesus Christ gives His disciples a few more things, and then at the end of chapter 14, they leave. Jesus says, "Arise, let us go hence." And I believe that they leave the upper room, and they take off, and they start heading northeast towards the Mount of Olives. And so they go down the Temple Mount, and they go down into the Kidron Valley and cross the brook Kidron. And on their way there, it seems as though they see one of these vines that are given, maybe of a grapevine that is there. And Jesus looks, and the disciples look, and He points out the fact that there are some things that they need to understand. We have learned so many things about this vine, so many interesting things. Jesus starts off by saying, "I am the true vine." Listen, I am. We look at Jehovah, and although the name Jehovah necessarily isn't given, He says, "I am." Folks, Jesus Christ is everything to us that we need. And He certainly is the vine giving us the stability, God giving us the refreshment, the nutrition, the encouragement, everything that we need to make it through in life. And also, the only possibility in which God has made us for, and that is the branch, is to produce fruit. That's God's intention for each one of us, is to produce fruit. We need to be connected to the vine in order to do that. We've looked at the vine, we've looked at the husband, we've looked at the branches not bearing fruit. We've looked at the branches that are bearing some fruit. We've looked at branches that are intended to bear more fruit. And now we've looked at branches that may bring forth much fruit. The key to much fruit is in the word abide. He says in verse 4, John chapter 15 and verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Continue on in verse 5. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that, again, abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Father, would you please help me? Give me the words that I need to say here in the coming and following moments, that we can learn what it means to abide in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abide. What does the word abide mean? We went over this last week. This is very key. You need to understand what the word abide means. To abide is to remain. To abide is to remain. To remain in a specific place. If I'm going to abide, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm going to remain. But it's not to depart. And specifically, it's to remain as one and not becoming another. There's no time when I am remaining with something or someone and we decide to part and make what is one, two. Now we need to review just for a moment. When we got saved, what did God do for us in reference to Jesus Christ? Actually, the Holy Spirit is said to have baptized us into the person of Jesus Christ. That word baptize is so interesting. And by the way, tonight we're going to be looking not so much at the word baptism tonight. We're going to be looking at in step with Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at the baptism of Jesus and what the significance was. What a wonderful study that I'll only be able to hit the surface of this evening. But what a neat thing. And I was intrigued with it. Lots of material. But baptism. To baptize, the word that is used in the scriptures to baptize is to immerse, to be placed into. So if we were, when we were saved, we were baptized or placed into the person of Christ. What does that mean as far as numbers? One, two, or three? Two have become now one. We have been placed into Christ. We have been immersed into Christ. I was placed into him, and Jesus Christ was placed into me. It's no longer I, it's no longer me, it's no longer the two of us. Now we are one. It's a team. Are you grateful for that team concept? I love the fact that I am not living my life. I am not given instruction to bear fruit on my own. Any of you ever taken a branch, take a branch off a tree, cut it, and tried to plant it into the ground? A branch needs to be put into the vine. It needs to abide in the vine. We cannot do it of ourselves. And Jesus is very clear here. He says he cannot do it. There's no way that ye can bear fruit except ye abide in me. There's no way for that to happen. We cannot produce fruit on our own. We need to be placed into the person of Jesus Christ. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, then now my potential is his potential. I can do whatever he asks me to do. I've got the power of Jesus Christ. I've got the position of Jesus Christ. I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that? We have his righteousness. We have his person. We are one with Jesus Christ. So there's a unity here. In looking at this abiding, it's to recognize that unity, that oneness with Jesus Christ. So it's to remain walking with Jesus, never to depart. Remaining as one, never becoming two. Folks, as we get going in our introduction here and move on into this lesson, we need to understand something. When we decide to operate independent of Jesus Christ, we'll never bear fruit. We will never be able to please the Lord in which he made us to be. I cannot honor and glorify God without the person of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we try it, though. We try to live independently from Jesus Christ. We try to do, some of us try to do right on our own. Folks, you cannot do right without Jesus Christ. Try as you may. Try as you will. Try as you get up and clench your fists and grit your teeth and try to do right. You can't do it. I've tried it before. You ever tried to do right like this? I'm going to do right today. You can't do it. Folks, we need Jesus Christ. We need to abide in Him. We cannot work independently. We must be together. And it's not a working together. It's dependence on Jesus Christ in order to fulfill His will, His fruit, His plan in my life. So we're looking this morning at abiding. The passage is going to get very specific for us to help us. What do you mean abide? How am I going to walk with Jesus? How am I going to stay with Him all through the day? We're going to look at three things this morning that are very important with this word, abiding. Number one, we're going to see abiding in what? Abiding in the vine, in Christ. Abiding is Christ. Now I'm going to give you three things that abiding is. Think through that as I give it to you. So number one, we're supposed to abide in what? In the vine. Abiding, when you try to figure out the word, when you try to understand it, according to John chapter 15, we see, first of all, abiding is Christ. Notice in verse 4, actually 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10, notice the words that are used. In verse 4, we see in me. And again, in the vine. And then lastly, in me. That's just verse 4. We move on to verse 5 and we read in me. Verse 6, in me. Verse 7, in me. Verse 9, he says, in my. Verse 10, in my and in his. What's God trying to paint the picture? What picture is he trying to paint in our minds right here? We must attach ourselves to who? Jesus. There is no other. It's in him. There's no other object. It's in the vine. Again, to abide is to remain in a specific place as one. It's being inseparable. When you're thinking of the one, you're thinking of the other. You know, it's interesting. A husband and wife, they get married. The two shall be how many fleshes? One flesh. You see, they come together as one. It ought to be that when somebody thinks of the husband, they're also thinking of the wife. Why? Because the two are one. They're no longer an individual and an individual. No, they're one. In God's eyes, they are one. You know, when a church goes to get a pastor, they're not just looking at the man. A church is not right when they only look at the man. They must look at the wife as well. Why? Because the two are one. When Faith Bible Church has a pastor, they're looking not only at me, but they're looking at her. You see? Why? Because the two is one. Husband and wives. It's not anymore just first name so and first name so and so. No, it's the whoever they are. It's a team. It's the two together now as one. That's the way Christ looks at it, and also he looks at Christians in that way. We are one together with Christ, and we ought to think of it that way. When you're thinking of one, you're thinking of the other. The vine, the branches, they are together and they are to produce fruit. Now, this sounds right and good with Jesus. We know the application. Okay, we've got to abide with Jesus, but let's think of the truth of this in our lives. This brings about a very important question. What or who are we abiding in? Go back to the definition. It's to be or to remain in a specific place, not to depart. To be there is one. The two are inseparable. Who do you remain with? Who are you abiding with? You know that all will probably abide in someone or something. We're all going to attach ourselves to something. That's the nature of humanity, is to attach ourselves. Very rarely in life do you see humanity as solo, all by themselves. We like to attach ourselves to a cause, to a person, to an activity. We attach ourselves to different ones. Many people are abiding or remaining with a person. That's who they're attached to. This is who I associate with. This is who my pal is. This is who my friend is. Many are attaching themselves or remaining in friends or people. Many are remaining or attaching themselves to a hobby. The two cannot be separated. Many are remaining or attaching themselves to an entertainment. Many are remaining purely with themselves. Their God and their attachment is themselves. Let me ask you a question. Where or who are you abiding? Or who with? To abide. Jesus is very specific in this verse, mentioned many times. Abide, but abide where? In me. In me, he says so many times, in me, with me, in mine. It's with me. Let me ask you, who are you abiding with? Who is your partner in life? What do you attach? And I'm not just talking about a person. And husbands and wives, we are one. But I'll tell you something. You need to attach yourself first and foremost to your Savior. If you're not walking with your Savior, husbands, you're not walking with your wife. Wives, if you're not walking with the Savior, you're not walking with your husband. It's inseparable. You cannot do it. Some people attach themselves to their husbands, their spouses, their wives, whoever it is. They attach themselves first and foremost to that person. And I'll tell you, we can't bear fruit unless we're attached to the vine. You know, you can love your wife all you want to, men. But if you're not attached to Jesus Christ and loving your master, your Savior, you're not going ever to be what God wants you to be. We cannot attach ourselves just simply to a person. To a hobby, you know, there are many of you that it's, you know, when you think of so-and-so, you think of this. You can't separate the two. You take an athlete. When you think of a certain athlete, you cannot separate that person with that sport that they're associated with. Why? Because that's who they've married. That's who they've attached to. This is who they are, folks. There's not to be nothing in place of Jesus Christ and who we're attached to. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and ye need to abide in me. You need to stay with me. Don't ever leave. Don't go anywhere. Don't make two of us. You need to stay right with me. But how many things have we attached in our lives that we're abiding with? I remember the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. What does he say? What was his life? What was Paul's everything? At least what he said. He said, for to me to live is who? Christ. You know what he's saying there? He said, Christ is my life. Christ is everything to me. I think of the Old Testament character of Caleb. Caleb had a different spirit, another spirit about him. He was different. Why? Because he wholly followed Christ. He wholly followed God. That means that he had something in his life that he was 100% attached to. He was remaining. He was abiding with God. That was his life. I ask you, who is your life? Do you have things in your life that are more important than Jesus Christ? Are you spending time or with a person, an entertainment, a hobby? Or maybe it's just yourself. You're wrapped around the things of yourself. Folks, I want to tell you, God says you need to have life in me. Life in Jesus Christ. So abiding is Christ. Our lives are Christ. As we've been baptized into Christ, it's all about our life. Is Christ all of your life? That's abiding. Number two, what else is abiding? Abiding by what? So we see, first of all, abiding in what? The vine. Abiding by what? By what? Notice verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. How are we going to abide in Christ? He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then he gives the result of that. You shall ask what? Ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Number two. First of all, abiding is Christ. Abiding is communication. Abiding is communication. You cannot separate and differentiate abiding and communication. It's got to be one. Husbands and wives, can you abide with each other and not communicate? You can try it, but it doesn't work, does it? You're not going to abide. What would happen to a couple that they go through life, maybe physically walking together, but they never communicate? verbally, or through their bodies, body language, whatever. If you don't communicate, what will eventually happen to that couple? Can they abide? No, the two, or the one, is going to become eventually two. They will walk off. That's why it's so important in a husband and wife relationship that you must communicate. You need to talk. You need to fellowship. You need to know what's going on. You need to be able to tell that other person things. There's got to be communication, because you cannot abide. You cannot stay as one if there's no communication. But we're not necessarily talking about the husband and wife relationship here this morning. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Do you understand that you cannot abide without communication? Oh, I'm a Christian, Pastor Madrid. I'm a Christian, and I go to church. Let me ask you, what's your communication with the Lord? You cannot abide with Christ if you don't talk to Him. And you cannot abide with Christ if He is not talking to you. How many Christians are trying to live their lives, and they're desperately trying to do right? Oh, Pastor, I wish so bad I could get over this area in my life. I am struggling. My wife and I have heard that, you know, different times in our lives. Come, Pastor, I need something. I'm struggling. And the first question that ought to be asked is this: after salvation, are you reading your Bible? Did you hear that? Are you having devotions? Are you fellowshipping with God? Do you know that many times the answer is, not really? Now listen, if we can't, as humans, walk together and abide together without communication, why would we think that we can walk with the Lord and abide and do right and obey Him and have victory when we're not walking with Jesus Christ? We're not communicating with Him. But I'll tell you what, I have been so shocked. I thought when I started pastoring back in 2008, I automatically assumed that a majority, if not all, of the people that go to church regularly are also regular in their devotions at home. They read their Bibles. They pray on a daily basis. But I have talked to enough adults, teachers, leadership, deacons. Doesn't matter. I've talked to enough to realize that there are many people that are not in constant communication with Jesus Christ. How can we abide without talking? How can we abide without listening? They can't. There is no way. We all communicate. We all gather information. We all gather directions. We all gather advice. But the question is, who are you communicating with? Who are you gathering information from? From whom are we getting our directions and advice? You know, really, when we look at this, there's an enemy here. There's the world versus the Word. The only difference is one letter, an L. So many people will attach themselves and they'll communicate with the world. They'll go to the world to find out their information. They'll go to the world to find out their directions, and they'll go to the world to find out their advice. Let me ask you, what is your consistent diet or source of information throughout the week? It amazes me how many people in this room are addicted and attached to the internet. Addicted and attached to the things, you know, the social media. They've got to have their fix of that. You say, come on, it's not like a drug. Oh, yes, it is. In fact, I read an article not too long ago that was tying the things, and I can't even remember exactly what it is. I think the specific application in this case was Facebook. Now, I'm not preaching against Facebook. But the amount of time that people attach themselves to this form of social media is astounding. Every given moment, every waking moment of the day, sitting there on their phones and on their devices, doing all this and communicating and chatting back and forth and checking out who's doing what and what every move that somebody makes. They're addicted to this. And people are going to this media. People are going to all the things that they can have on their devices, going to the books, going to the libraries, going to every source that they can find. And then we sit down in church and we say, I don't understand why. I don't feel like I walk with the Lord. And I simply ask, are you spending time with God? I want you to stop and think. And I know for some of you this won't work because you say, I'm not a media person. And I don't even have a device at home. And maybe that you're better off that way. And I don't think that this, what I'm about to say, can go straight across the board. But if you were to compare and lay it out, your time that you spend in the Word of God and or in prayer with the time that you spend on your tablet or your smart device, who would you abide with? And of course, I could extend this to your television. I could extend this to your book reading, whether it's an e-book or whether it's a physical book, I don't care. Or whether it's your entertainment or your hobby, who are you going to and who are you spending the most time with? Quite astounding that so many independent fundamental Baptist Christians spend more time on their devices, spend more time on their things. And they're going to who? Who are they abiding with? You tell me. They're abiding with the world. What did Jesus say? He said, except ye abide in me, ye can bear no fruit. Why is it that we're not seeing much fruit in our lives today? Why is it that we seem so barren? Why is my life so barren? Because I'm not spending time with Christ. Abiding is communication. What is your consistent diet of information throughout the week? Your music, I tell you what, your music speaks to you, teaches you, trains you, leads you, preaches to you. The radio and the news. You know, there are Christians that have addicted themselves to talk radio. And you might argue that maybe some of your talk radio might give you updates on what's going on in the world from a conservative perspective, but you better be careful that it doesn't become your Bible. Because I'll tell you, some of the leading talk show, news, even the ones that claim to be conservative, I'll tell you what, they're not giving out God. They might give a conservative side of things. But that's not what God told us to abide in. Your entertainment, your information, your media, I already said all that. Where are you abiding? It's all part of abiding. Jesus said, abide in me and in my words. This means we're never supposed to let God's word depart from our lives. You remember the instruction given to parents in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What is God telling us? Moses telling us in the book of Deuteronomy. God's word ought to be the thing that we're going to all times of the day. And again, we can look at that. And for many of us, some of our devices are that thing that it's the first thing we wake up looking at. It's the last thing we go to bed looking at. And all day long, it's this. I mean, how many times would you, everybody's got these new little fandangled things they wear, and they're, how many steps they take and what they do, and that's okay. But I wonder how many times it would be said that we got on our device. What if we could track that? What if we could track how many times we turned on the whatever? What if we had a device that tracked how many times we opened up God's Word? Now that is convicting. You know what? Maybe the media, maybe all that stuff didn't hit you, but how many times do you open up God's Word? Does it need to be tracked, or could you count it on your finger? Could you count it on one finger? Could you count? Maybe you don't get into it at all. That's not the picture of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it's not the picture of Job, which Job painted for us in 23:12. Neither have I gone back from my commandments of his lips, and have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know, some of us are at the dinner table more times than we're in God's Word. You say, come on, Pastor, we've got to eat three times a day. And I would submit to you that we need to eat more than three times a day in God's Word. And if you think for a moment, let me step out of the pulpit, you think for a moment that I'm not working through this in my own life, I am as well. In fact, this week, I started to do something. I said, you know what? I'm not abiding like I ought to either. And so now I've made it a practice to take out my Bible as I sit there at my desk, to take it out, and I have a couple of verses, and I've got it sitting right there by my computer as I study and as I do all these things, apart from my Bible study, that I take and I try every few moments to look at that verse and I try to read it and think through it just for a moment. Why? Because I understand that if I don't abide, I'm going to lose it. As a pastor, I can study 50 hours a week, and if I'm not abiding in the Word, I will lose out, and you'll lose your pastor. But folks, it's not just a pastor thing. We'll lose you if you're not in God's Word. There's no way to abide unless we're in God's Word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell is to remain, is to abide. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Listen, God's word ought to be there all the time. So abiding in what? In Christ. By what? God's word. Fellowship. And we go to number three. Abiding for what? Why abide? For his love. Look at John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abiding in his love. Did you hear that? He tells us to love just like his Father loves and as he loves. He says, continue in my love, and if ye keep my commandments, that's abiding in my love. So number three, what is abiding? Abiding is not only Christ. Abiding is not only communication. Abiding is commitment. Abiding is commitment. It is faithfulness. Faithfulness. It is love. Love is a choice. Abiding is a choice. It is a choice to place God's commands over our personal, natural impulses and desires. That's what abiding is. It's a choice, just like love is. If you love me, keep my commandments. You've got to choose to keep my commandments. You've got to choose to be faithful. You've got to choose to abide. And if we love, we are keeping God's commandments. That's how we demonstrate our love. I can tell my wife 100 times a day, I love you, but if I don't demonstrate it in my actions, then I don't really love her. I can say, oh Jesus, I love you. God, you know that we love you. God, we love you, we love you, we love you. But listen, it's demonstrated. Love is demonstrated. It's a choice. I'm going to choose them. I'm going to be faithful to them. I'm going to actively love them. And here we see in the scripture that abiding is this commitment. Commitment to obeying God's commands. To faithfully choose God over myself. You know, when a child chooses to disobey his or her parents, they are making the choice. Listen to this. When a child chooses to disobey his or her parents, they are choosing to depart from them and their authority. Mom and dad are here. They give an instruction. Joe or Susie are over here. They hear that and they make a choice. Am I going to place myself underneath and abide? Remain? Be faithful? Or am I going to say no to that and turn and try to separate and divorce? And every time a child does that, he's choosing to divide up from his authority. And when a child decides, I am going to willingly place myself under my authority, what are they telling their parents? I love you. There's no greater honor for a parent to have a child that willingly decides that they want to obey. Because that's God's word. If you love me, you will do what? You'll keep my commandments. If you love me, that's what you're going to do. You can tell me all you want till you love me, but if you don't keep my commandments, you do not. We don't like to hear that, do we? I don't like to hear it. That means when I go against God, I am not loving God. And if I'm not loving, what does this passage tell us? If I'm not loving, I am not abiding. If I'm not abiding, let's pull it full circle, I am not bearing fruit. I can't. Question, are you committed to obeying God's commands? When God speaks, you obey. When God talks, you obey. You do what He says. Or is your delight, your commitment, your obedience in your own ways? I know that God wants this. I know that God wants this. But I'm going to justify and do whatever I can to do my own thing. Folks, you're not abiding and you're not walking with the Lord, and there will be no fruit. So are you obeying God? Are you committed to following Him? You see, these three things are abiding. Abiding, number one, is Christ. It is Christ. Number two, abiding is communication. And thirdly, abiding is commitment and obedience. Father, would you please help us to abide in you? Abide in your words. Abide through your commandments. Lord, help us to obey you. There's no way that we can please you unless we abide. Lord, that is actively a very difficult thing, to abide all through the day. Oh God, help us. We need you. We can't do it on our own. We will tend to resort to the world. We'll tend to go to our other things, our entertainments, and our things in life that we love, the people that we love. And, oh God, I pray that you would be the priority. You would be the one that we go to. God, thank you for your good word, Lord. This was your heart. This was what you wanted to give the disciples. You wanted to tell them, listen, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help your faith here. You're going to have to stick with me. Lord, if we're going to survive in this world, we're going to have to stick with you. We're going to have to get serious about you. We're going to have to, like Caleb, wholly follow God. Lord, help us with this commitment. Lord, how we are, who we are, help us to come to you. As we sang that song, Nearer, Still Nearer, that song, O Lord, draw me, help me, I need to walk with you. And then the song, Just As I Am, O Lamb of God, I come, come. Lord, help us to come. Help us to come. In Jesus' name we pray.